This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, September 13th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
Hurricane Florence weakens but still threatens severe coastal flooding.
Global stocks rise amid reports of fresh trade talks between the U.S. and China.
A busy morning for central banks with decisions from the Bank of England, the ECB, and Turkey.
And another high-level executive is set to leave Tesla.
It's primary day in New York, plus President Trump is threatening sanctions if foreign powers interfere in the November elections. I'm Michael Barr. Those stories and more straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another loss for the Yankees. Two hits and fell at Minnesota. A 13-0 win for the Mets over the Marlins.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
U.S. futures and European equities are little changed after stocks in Asia rose for the first time in 11 sessions. It is 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 2 points, Dow futures up 19, NASDAQ futures up 8. The DAX in Germany is up 0.33%, CAC in Paris up 0.2%, FTSE 100 down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 0.32%, yield 2.97%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.6% or $1.10 to $69.27 a barrel. And COMEX gold little changed at $12.11.10 an ounce. Bob.
We are following the path of Hurricane Florence as it continues its march toward the East Coast. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn joins us now with the latest. And Rob, this is a weaker storm?
Yes, it has weakened, Bob. And Karen, it's down to 110 miles an hour, but that's still enough to do an awful lot of damage. It's located about 200 miles east-southeast of Wilmington, North Carolina, moving east towards the west-northwest right now at 15 miles an hour. As I mentioned, top winds are 110 miles an hour. Radar showing the outer bands of the storm just off the coast of the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And along the Outer Banks, we're seeing wind gusts this morning to about 40 miles an hour.
Weaker wind-wise, Rob, how severe is the threat of flooding, and what sort of impact are we looking at from all that rain?
That's the major threat from the storm, because it's going to move very, very slowly. Its forward speed is going to decrease today, and it will drift slowly over southeastern North Carolina and northeastern South Carolina over the next 36 to 48 hours. Could dump anywhere from 15 to 30 inches of rain over eastern North Carolina and northeastern South Carolina. Even as far west as the mountains, they could see as much as a foot of rain. It is going to cause very significant flooding issues.
Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn joining us with the latest on Hurricane Florence, and he'll update us through the morning. Thank you, Rob.
Well, while the hurricane has yet to come ashore, it's already causing economic losses, Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
Florence has already cost $1 billion in economic losses, and the storm will probably cause $10 to $20 billion in damage, depending on how long the storm sits on the coast. This according to Chuck Watson, a disaster modeler with Enki Research in Savannah, Georgia. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster says more than 300,000 people have already evacuated South Carolina, and that total may reach 1 million. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. It's a busy morning for monetary policy with central bank decisions from Turkey, the European Central Bank, and the Bank of England. We begin our team coverage in Turkey with Bloomberg's Simon Demirkan.
Expectations are high. The median estimate in a Bloomberg survey is for the Turkish Central Bank to raise its one-week repo rate by 325 basis points. It is already tightened by almost 7 percentage points this year, as inflation has accelerated for 5 months, currently the highest in 15 years. But considering the pressure from President Recep Tayyip Erdogan to keep growth ticking along, it wouldn't be surprising if the CBRT fails to deliver. In Istanbul, I'm Simon Demirkan. Now here's Marcus Carlson in London.
The Bank of England is forecast to keep rates unchanged, while policymakers have said that limited and gradual hikes are needed in coming years. A unanimous vote is expected today. The decision is published at 7 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by an ECB decision at 7:45. With details on that, here's Paul Gordon in Frankfurt.
The ECB's latest economic forecasts are said to show slower growth because of trade tensions and, importantly, that the risks are tilted to the downside. That makes it trickier for policymakers to push on with their plan to phase out asset purchases this year, as economists and investors expect. Instead, the Governing Council might point to a steady, if slow, inflation outlook and can choose to stick to its previous language that the risks to growth are, in fact, broadly balanced. That keeps it on track to raise rates potentially late next year. In Frankfurt, Paul Gordon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you. And Turkish President Erdogan is putting pressure on the country's central bank ahead of today's policy decision. Erdogan said that instead of boosting rates, he wants the central bank to cut what he calls the current high interest rate. The Turkish lira weakened on his remarks. It is currently down about 1.8% against the dollar at 6.4586.
And the ECB says banks have settled on a new gauge for how much they charge each other for loans. A group of European lenders selected the euro short-term rate, or €STR, as their preferred replacement for Ionia. The new rate reflects the wholesale unsecured overnight borrowing costs for euro area banks and will be produced by the ECB by October of 2019.
On the trade front, we're looking at the possibility of new talks between the U.S. and China. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. Sources tell Bloomberg senior administration officials led by the Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin recently extended an invitation to counterparts in China. If agreed to by the Chinese, the talks are likely to take place in Washington. National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow confirmed the report, saying, quote, that communication has picked up a notch. During a previous round of talks in May, China's vice premier reached a deal with Mnuchin only to see it rejected in a tweet from President Trump. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Bob.
Warnings from Wall Street on trade getting louder. Goldman Sachs says we could face a bear market if the U.S. imposes 10% tariffs on all Chinese imports. And Morgan Stanley is recommending reducing positions in U.S. equities.
Tesla back in the news today. Sources tell Bloomberg that another high-ranking finance executive is leaving the company. Tesla's vice president of worldwide finance and operation is parting ways with the electric car maker and will reportedly make his exit in October. Futures this morning, again, little change to higher. S&P futures up 2.5 points, Dow futures up 25, NASDAQ futures up 10. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. And voting begins today in the Empire State. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. It is primary day in New York. Democrats are poised to decide who prevails today between New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and Cynthia Nixon. The former Sex and the City actress has hammered Cuomo on everything from the city's subways to failures to address corruption and income inequality.
We are feeling such momentum, not just in New York City, but across the state. I was in six different cities last weekend, and people just keep coming up to me in droves saying, I'm a registered Democrat, I'm voting for you, thank you for giving me an alternative, we've got to get him out of there.
Meanwhile, Cuomo, speaking earlier this week, says he is the most aggressive governor in the United States, taking on President Trump. The winner of the Democratic gubernatorial primary will face Republican Mark Molinaro and two other candidates in different parties in the fall. The attorney general's race is also on the radar. Four Democrats, including Cuomo-backed Letitia James, are vying for the nomination. The winner will face Republican Keith Wolford in November. Seven members of the New York Police Department have been arrested in connection with a gambling and prostitution investigation. Police say dozens of civilians were also arrested in the case, which is being prosecuted by the Queens District Attorney's Office. Charges include official misconduct and promoting prostitution. The defendants are to be arraigned today. President Trump issued an order threatening financial sanctions if foreign powers interfere in the November midterm elections. The executive order Trump signed directs the government to impose sanctions on any foreigner who participates in disrupting a U.S. election. Japan rejected a surprise offer by Russian President Vladimir Putin to Prime Minister Shinzo Abe to form a peace treaty between the two countries by the end of the year without any preconditions. Bloomberg's Ilya Hipov has more from Moscow.
Abe didn't respond to the invitation, which drew applause at the Vladivostok Forum. There is absolutely no change in Japan's perspective of resolving the problem over the northern territories before sealing a peace treaty, the Japanese chief cabinet secretary said in Tokyo. In Moscow, Ilya Arkhipov, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning, John Stashower.
Morning, Bob. A long road trip is over for the Yankees. They limp home, having gone just 4-5 a night after their pitching let them down in Minnesota. The offense provided only two hits, none until the eighth inning. Greg Bird's double broke up Jake Odorizzi's no-hitter bid. The Yanks lost to the Twins 3-1. They are 7-9 in their last 16 games. Aaron Boone on the late season swoon.
Baseball will punch you in the mouth every now and then, and we won't. We're clearly facing a little bit of adversity right now, and we'll embrace it, and we'll be better for it, and you know, I expect us to come out Friday ready to turn the page and ready to get after.
They're only one game ahead of Oakland as the two teams fight to earn home field advantage in a potential wild card playoff game. Yanks could still play Houston. The Astros, despite having won 10 of 11, only three games ahead of the A's in the AL West. Mets and Marlins were supposed to play a doubleheader. That'll instead take place today. Due to rain, they only got one game in, and it started 5.5 hours after the first one was supposed to get going. Turned out to be a 13-0 rout of the Marlins. Jay Bruce had a grand slam, and Zach Wheeler continued his superb second half of the season. The long night was worth it for Mickey Callaway.
The challenge is to get back up going again after you've sat for so long. You know, the guys are coming around asking, hey, you got any word? You have to wait 6 hours, and all of a sudden, you have to turn on like a switch, and they did a pretty good job of it tonight.
Red Sox won 1-0 over Toronto, their 100th win of the year. Fastest to win 100 games since the 0-1 Mariners. Seattle Storm, WNBA champions after a sweep of Washington. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashek. Bob?
John, thank you. Fresh off her U.S. Open win over Serena Williams, Naomi Osaka has picked up an endorsement deal. The Japanese tennis star has signed a 3-year deal with Nissan. Financial terms were not disclosed. Osaka already has endorsement contracts with Japanese dried noodle maker Nissin Foods, Citizen Watch, and Wow Wow, a satellite and cable channel. S&P futures up 3 points, 0.1%. The sports update brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Bloomberg Surveillance. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Hurricane Florence has weakened to a Category 2 storm. Still, strong winds persist, and it's forecast to deliver as much as 30 inches of rain. The ECB's biggest challenge today could be communicating that its policy trajectory remains the same as in June. No major changes are expected to the central bank's inflation outlook. Bill Gross lost almost $153 million on interest rate futures in the first half. The Janus Henderson fund manager increased his average futures exposure as much as 13-fold from January through June. And Tesla's still in the news. Elon Musk says the company's getting overwhelmed by demand and isn't responding to customers quickly enough. It's also racing to secure lithium batteries, but may be slowed by mining delays in Australia. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Hannah George, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are up 3 points. Dow futures up 33. NASDAQ futures up 13. The DAX in Germany's up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.97%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.75%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.4%, down 97 cents to $69.42 a barrel. COMEX gold little change, down 70 cents to $12.10.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.1622. The yen, 111.45. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, there is bad and dangerous weather elsewhere in the world. The North Philippines, they're bracing for the strongest typhoon this year there. The storm has 165-mile-per-hour winds. U.S. and Cuban officials are meeting today at the State Department in an effort to determine the method and motive behind mysterious incidents in Havana that have injured American diplomats. In baseball, the Yankees lost, and their lead in the wild card race against the A's is now down just to a game. because Oakland slammed the Orioles 10-0. The Mets won their first half of their doubleheader. The second game was rained out. The Red Sox hit 100 Ws this season. The Nationals won. The Giants lost. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:20 on Wall Street, and good morning. I'm John Tucker. Disaster on the doorstep of the Carolina coastline. Bloomberg reporter Brian Sullivan joins us live with the update on Florence. Brian, is this thing going to park itself over land?
It could. The forecast has changed a little bit overnight, so now it looks like it's going to continue through. You know, there was a danger yesterday where it was going to park over land, turn into this water pump, and just completely drench the Carolinas. They're still going to get heavy rain. They're still going to get a large storm surge, but the storm seems to be going to move through that area a little bit quicker than first thought.
Are we overreacting at this point?
I wouldn't say so. You know, it was a major hurricane just offshore. It's not a major hurricane anymore, but there have been examples in history where these storms have lost wind power, but still have packed a really hard punch when it came to the flooding rains and the storm surge itself.
There's already been economic damage, I guess, from the storm, or at least preparing for the storm. What is that?
About $1 billion of economic losses have been tallied by Chuck Watson, who's a disaster modeler. And that's from people having to evacuate, people losing time at work, people, you know, having to cancel vacations or trips. Already today, there's about 575 flights that are canceled in, you know, the places you would expect them, Charlotte, Douglas, Raleigh, Durham, Charleston. And there's probably another 500 canceled tomorrow. So it's having its impact.
What's the infrastructure that's in the way in terms of, well, let's start with energy infrastructure. Is there a lot there?
There's some nuclear power plants and pipelines. The nuclear power plants will have to shut down when the winds reach 73, 74 miles an hour, which is about hurricane strength. You have the pipelines there. You also have a number of large livestock operations, poultry operations, that are going to be affected as this thing moves across the Carolinas.
As far as the economic data, we've seen from past storms that the storms like this kind of muddle the economic data that we get.
Yeah, you know, it's they're kind of this one actually is kind of tricky simply because the track has moved a little bit back and forth. You know, the initial estimates came in very high, and that's when people thought the research triangle was going to take a real beating. And then yesterday you saw them drop down as the storm seemed to be heading towards North Carolina, now South Carolina, and now it's shifting back to North Carolina. So, and then on top of that, you know, later on, depending on how much damage it is, it could be a boon for places like Home Depot or Lowe's, those stores that sell all the equipment to rebuild.
Let's talk about the impact on the insurance industry at this point. Can you assess that?
The main damage from this is likely going to be flooding, and most of your private insurers aren't involved in that market. So this is something that the U.S. government will be on the hook for through the flood insurance program, or unfortunately many of the people who are going to be damaged aren't going to have flood insurance at all because, you know, we're going to have flooding outside the normal flood zones. So those folks themselves will be on the hook. So I think what we're going to see here is it's going to be more of a taxpayer issue as opposed to a corporate issue.
Okay, give us the update. I'm looking at a live satellite picture. I mean, it looks like a Grateful Dead tie-dye t-shirt to me, but why don't you explain what we're seeing?
So the wind shear has ripped at the structure of the storm. Hurricanes are most powerful when their structure is very rigid and in place, and the wind shear has kind of torn open one side of the eye wall. And that's an indication that this thing has weakened a little bit, and that's what you've seen. The wind strength has dropped a bit. The wind shear is supposed to relax, but the latest from the Hurricane Center, the National Hurricane Center, is that because it's been damaged so much that it probably won't get a chance to rebuild itself before it hits the coastline, which is good news. I mean, you're still dealing with a Category 2 hurricane, but, you know, I'd rather deal with a Category 2 than a Category 4.
And when's the projected landfall at this point?
It's going to be sometime probably tomorrow, 24 to 36 hours.
Okay. Brian? Always a pleasure to talk to you. Brian Sullivan with the update on this potentially catastrophic storm Florence headed to the Carolina coastlines. And ahead of the open on Wall Street, let's give you an update. S&P futures right now, 2 points higher. The Dow futures up 30. The NASDAQ futures 12 points higher. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brought to you by National Realty, developers of Prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach Real Estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. stock index futures and European equities are higher after Asian shares ended the longest losing streak in 16 years. It all comes amid the prospect of fresh trade negotiations between the U.S. and China. Sources tell Bloomberg Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin has extended an invitation for talks to senior Chinese officials.
Crude oil is trading below $70 a barrel. The potential impact on commodities from Hurricane Florence is fading as the storm weakens to a Category 2. We will have the very latest on the storm throughout the morning with Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn.
It is a busy day for central bank decisions out of Europe. Economists forecast Turkey's central bank will raise borrowing costs after inflation surged to a 15-year high.
And Turkish President Erdogan is putting pressure on policymakers ahead of that decision, saying that instead of boosting rates, he wants the central bank to cut what he calls the current high interest rate. The Turkish lira weakened on his remarks. It is currently trading down about 1.5% at 6.4387 to the dollar.
We also get policy decisions today from the Bank of England and the European Central Bank. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
The Bank of England may keep its key interest rate on hold after raising the benchmark to 0.75% in August. The BOE will offer its view on the economy amid risks from emerging markets and Brexit. And the European Central Bank may confirm that asset purchases will be trimmed next month before ending this year. Updated projections will provide a first glimpse of the impact of trade tensions on growth and inflation. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. And another high-ranking finance executive is leaving Tesla. Bloomberg News has learned the vice president of worldwide finance and operation is parting ways with the electric car maker. It is now 6:32 on Wall Street, and that is time for your volatility index report. The VIX has dropped for three straight sessions. It closed at 13.14 yesterday and is even lower in today's extended morning trading. It stands at 12.83. That's this morning's volatility report.
Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 3 points. Dow futures up 28. NASDAQ futures up 14. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.97%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.75%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.3% or 93 cents to $69.44 a barrel. COMEX gold is little changed at $12.10.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.16.20. The yen, 111.44. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. And this news update is brought to you by the accounting and advisory firm Eisner Amper. Are you experiencing tax turbulence like most businesses? For a tax diagnostic and to connect to resources you need, visit EisnerAmper.com/tax turbulence. In New York, the campaigning all comes down to this. The latest now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Democratic primary voters in New York will soon pick the winner of a spirited battle between two-term Governor Andrew Cuomo and liberal challenger Cynthia Nixon. The longtime activist and former Sex and the City star trails Cuomo in the polls, but says she's counting on an upset thanks to voters eager for new leadership. Cuomo has emphasized his experience and his efforts to take on President Trump. Monster storm Hurricane Florence is barreling closer to the coast of the Carolinas. Forecasters say wind speeds have dropped from a high of 140 miles an hour to 110 miles per hour, reducing it to a Category 2 storm. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper.
Understand that the rain may last for days and will be measured in some places in feet and not inches.
Early today, Florence is about 235 miles east-southeast of Wilmington, North Carolina. The storm is moving northwest at 17 miles per hour. California authorities say a gunman killed five people, including his wife, before turning the gun on himself as a Kern County Sheriff's deputy closed in yesterday. There is no immediate word on what sparked the shootings that took place at a home and a trucking company in Bakersfield. U.S. Energy Secretary Rick Perry is in Moscow today to meet with his Russian counterpart. Bloomberg's Dina Krenikova has more from Vladivostok.
Perry's visit comes just weeks before U.S. sanctions hit Iranian oil exports and OPEC gathers its allies in Algeria to talk about crude production levels. It indicates that the U.S., which are not a member country of the so-called OPEC Plus group, aim to participate in discussions that shape the global oil market. This will be the first visit of a U.S. government official to Russia in more than a year. In Vladivostok, Dina Krenikova, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. Michael Barr, this is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. Now 6:35 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by the Investors Bank. And good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Last year, the Yankees were in the one-game wild-card playoff, got to play at home and beat Minnesota, ended up one win for the World Series. Yanks will almost certainly be back in that winner-take-all game, but will it again be in the Bronx? Might very well be in Oakland. The A's won last night in Baltimore, 10-0, all 10 coming in the third inning. The Yanks again lost to the Twins, 3-1 in Minnesota. So they dropped the last two of the nine-game road trip. They come home having gone just 4-5. They're only one game ahead of the A's. The big story last night, Jake Odorizzi took a no-hitter to the eighth inning. Aaron Boone was impressed.
I thought he pitched up in the zone with his fastball real well, slider split. Thought we had a number of quality at-bats off him, actually. You know, hit a number of balls on the button, hit some balls to the fence. But he pitched well. You know, he mixed his three pitches, and we just weren't able to get it done.
First Yankee hit was Greg Bird's one-out RBI double in the eighth, and he managed only one other hit. Spoiled a good outing from Luis Severino, who had been struggling. Long night, but easy win for the Mets. 13-0 over Miami. Three homers, including a Jay Bruce grand slam. Zach Wheeler, eight scoreless for his 11th win. Game didn't start until 9:45 due to the rain, so couldn't get two games in as hoped for. They'll play a doubleheader instead today. Sam Darnold getting ready for his first home game as Jets quarterback and still being asked about his first pass Monday in Detroit, that pick six, asked what he would do differently.
Yeah, I mean, not throw it. you know, that's the easy answer. But no, I thought I could have kept maybe rolling out to my right if I noticed that the safety was, you know, still back there. But keep rolling out to my right, maybe throw it away or find a receiver.
Darnold and the Jets host Miami Sunday, Giants in Dallas Sunday night. The game tonight, Baltimore at Cincinnati. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
10 years ago, amid a worsening subprime mortgage crisis, the U.S. government did what few have dared. It allowed a major global investment bank, Lehman Brothers, to file for bankruptcy. Within days, the shockwaves crippled the nation's largest insurer, triggered a run on money market funds, and accelerated a cash crunch that would ultimately destroy millions of jobs. The experience should be seared into the memories of politicians everywhere. It's shocking to see how quickly they've forgotten and how fragile the financial system remains. The lessons of the 2008 crisis are clear. Banks had too much debt and too little equity, so they couldn't bear the losses they faced. Today, the global financial system looks troublingly like it did in 2007. Vast risks are still concentrated in a handful of vulnerable institutions. Sooner or later, another crisis will come. The legacy of the crash should be a safe financial system. It isn't too late to bring that about. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Advocacy groups are spending millions trying to influence the Senate fight over Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
A vote is expected later this month, so advocacy groups are buying up airtime.
You have a judicial crisis network spending millions of dollars on TV advertising in key states trying to get people to encourage senators to vote for Kavanaugh. And then you've got groups on the left, like pro-abortion group NARAL, also spending millions of dollars trying to get constituents of key states to encourage their senators to vote against him.
Bloomberg government's Megan Wilson says spending from both sides is top $10 million, which is still shy of what was spent in the battle to confirm Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. Now 6:39 on Wall Street, time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. A coalition of more than 15 charitable groups and the government of Norway are pledging to spend nearly $500 million over the next 4 years to prevent deforestation internationally and promote recognition of the rights of indigenous people to manage forests. The contributing groups include the Ford and Rockefeller Foundations. Supporters of the effort say evidence shows indigenous communities are the most effective stewards of the land they inhabit. The funds will support those working to protect, restore, and expand forests, help communities make land use more sustainable, and empower indigenous people by teaching them about their rights. About half of the forests in the world are managed by indigenous people, but only about 15% of those lands are legally recognized as belonging to them. Scientists say forests already remove 30% of carbon emissions added to the atmosphere each year, but rampant deforestation driven by demand for wood or other uses of the land is threatening that capacity. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures at this hour up 3 points. That is a tenth of 1%. Dow futures up 36 points. NASDAQ futures higher by 15 points. And the 10-year yield at 2.9700%. This is Bloomberg. Join us on our weekend edition of Bloomberg Daybreak, where we set you up for the coming week on Wall Street. Listen in Saturdays at 5 a.m., again at 4 p.m., and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio.
Bloomberg Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. It is 6:47 on Wall Street, and futures this morning are rising. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Gains in the U.S. futures right now, with Dow futures up 40 points, S&P's gained 4, and NASDAQ futures climbed by 21. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.97%. Oil is down, and Hong Kong rose 2.5% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed this morning. And note the Bank of England rate decision is at 7 a.m., ECB rate decision at 7:45. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, the Consumer Price Index and initial jobless claims. And at 2 o'clock, the monthly budget statement. In deal news, Hershey to buy Pirate Brands from B&G Foods for $420 million. And the New York Post reported that H.G. Vora Capital is said to build a Caesar stake in order to push a sale. In other news, Morgan Stanley raised its price target on Apple to $247 after the unveiling of the latest iPhones. And wrapping things up, Wayfair was downgraded to neutral at Morgan Stanley. Ciena was downgraded to equal weight at Morgan Stanley as well. And DaVita upgraded to neutral over at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. We are watching the Turkish lira this morning as well. President Erdogan effectively banning Turkish entities from conducting business in dollars or euros, triggering a brief rally in the battered lira. Then he doubled down on demands for the central bank to cut interest rates, triggering a fresh sell-off in the national currency. Right now, the Turkish lira down 1.6% against the dollar at 6.4485. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, New York holds its primaries today. Yesterday in Rhode Island's primary for a U.S. Senate seat, it will be Democratic incumbent Sheldon Whitehouse against Republican Robert Flanders in the fall. In the state's gubernatorial race, it will be Democratic incumbent Gina Raimondo against Republican Alan Fung. Hurricane Florence continues to take aim at the southeast. U.S. and Cuban officials are meeting today at the State Department in an effort to determine the method and motive behind mysterious incidents in Havana that have injured American diplomats. In baseball, the Yankees lost, and their lead in the wild card race against the A's is now just down to a game because Oakland slammed the Orioles 10-0. The Mets won the first half of their doubleheader. The second game was rained out. The Red Sox hit 100 W's this season. The Nationals won. The Giants lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, which countries are the riskiest housing markets? According to Oxford Economics, Sweden, Canada, Hong Kong, and Australia are at the top of the list. Valuations are elevated, there's a lengthy housing boom, and debt is high. Bob, risks are relatively limited to the U.S., Germany, France, China, and Japan.
Relatively limited in the U.S., huh?
Relatively.
Relatively speaking, yes.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the prospects of a renewed trade talk session between the U.S. and China. President Trump promising sanctions for countries that meddle in the midterm election. And the government issues inflation data at 8:30 this morning, Wall Street time. Let's get more on these and other stories now from Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning. Welcome. Bring us up to date on the latest picture on trade. U.S. and China may be talking again, huh?
Yeah, it sounds like there was an overture from Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and others on the U.S. side, and that it looks promising that the overture might be accepted, and this would allow the trade talks that have been stalled, the very high-level trade talks between the U.S. and China that have been stalled for several months now, to resume. So this is certainly a promising sign, but again, it's a long road, so I wouldn't put too much stock in it just yet.
And then we've got those NAFTA talks with Canada, and Mexico goes to the U.S. To advance the idea of a deal with or without Canada.
Yeah, it sounds like the U.S. and Mexico are kind of again playing hardball when it comes to Canada. It's been hard for the three parties involved to reach a consensus on some of the issues pertaining to Canada in particular, dairy and other issues. And so it sounds like what's happening now is a repeat of what we saw a couple weeks ago when the U.S. and Mexico reached a bilateral framework. Is essentially, at least on the Mexico side, they're saying, you know, we're willing to go ahead with just a bilateral deal between the U.S. and Mexico if Canada doesn't get on board. So I think that's clearly an attempt to sort of put some pressure on Canada now.
And is Canada saying anything about this?
Well, they're huddled. Some of the trade ministers are huddled with Justin Trudeau, and they're trying to kind of work out the details. I think their sense is that they'd still like to reach an agreement. And everyone's saying, all three parties in the talks are saying, ideally, they want to reach a three-party agreement. It's just a question of whether or not, you know, that's going to happen and, you know, what, if any, concessions Canada would be willing to give.
And it's been a long way to get here, but President Trump is now promising sanctions if foreign powers meddle in the 2018 vote.
Yeah, Trump has been under a lot of pressure, you know, for many months now, but particularly since his summit in Helsinki when he stood alongside Putin and kind of equivocated over whether or not he believed the U.S. intelligence community's assessment that Russia had meddled in the midterm elections. He's been under a lot of pressure to sort of take a tougher line against Russia. And this seems to be this executive order that he signed yesterday, which would say that essentially anyone who interferes in U.S. elections would be subject to potential sanctions. That seems to be an attempt to take that harder line. However, it's been pretty roundly panned by lawmakers on both sides of the aisle who say it doesn't go far enough.
Now, his aides have been saying that they've been serious in trying to come to some sort of terms on what they would do in the event of any meddling.
That's right. And so there's certainly, you know, Dan Coats and others, you know, who's the director of national intelligence, have certainly been portraying this as a step in the right direction or, you know, taking a tough line against Russia and saying that they would follow through with these sanctions. But I think that what folks on both sides of the aisle on Capitol Hill are really looking for is something more directly aimed at Russia and something that has some more teeth to it.
And the battle for the U.S. Senate is suddenly less daunting for Democrats.
Yeah, this has been very interesting because basically ever since, you know, the morning after the election in 2016, Democrats have had their sights pretty firmly on winning a House majority. And all indicators seem to be moving in their direction on that front in terms of the likelihood of that possibility occurring. I think what's particularly interesting now is that a couple of key Senate races are breaking in a way that might actually put the Senate in play as well. The map, the electoral map right now is really, really unfair. favorable to Democrats. They're defending a lot more seats than Republicans, and a lot of the seats that are up are very solidly Republican states. But we're seeing Democrat incumbents in, you know, red and purple states performing very well. And then also somewhat surprisingly, we're seeing a number of Democratic candidates in Republican-leaning states like Arizona, Tennessee, and Texas actually outperforming expectations. So I think that has some, you know, Democrats scratching their heads and saying maybe this isn't totally impossible.
Well, it doesn't seem on the surface like such a big nut to crack here. Democrats would need a net gain of two seats in the November 6th elections to gain a Senate majority. What's the big deal about that?
That's what's confusing because, you know, they need 23 seats in the House and only two seats in the Senate. So, like, logic, straight up logic would indicate that the Senate would be easier. But I think it's really comes down to the map and the number of seats that Democrats are defending versus the number of seats that Republicans are defending. Democrats are defending many, many more seats than Republicans. And where the seats are located are in more Republican-leaning states. So that makes it even harder for Democrats to both retain the seats they have now and to gain additional seats. So that's really kind of how the math works on that one. And it makes it a bit of a heavy lift.
And a reminder for our listeners in New York, today is primary election day in New York. Get out there and vote. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
Thanks, Bob. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker.
And good morning, Karen. You know, when a small business gets big enough that the owner must delegate decisions and tasks, even to trusted employees, this can be a shock, especially for entrepreneurs used to doing everything themselves. Many pale at the idea of asking managers and top staffers to take on critical responsibilities like prospecting for and dealing with customers, hiring new workers, or overseeing production. Beyond taking pride in being an owner, they fear what might happen if a staffer makes a costly mistake. Robert Glazer, the CEO of marketing company Acceleration Partners, has learned from his own experience and also from the struggles of owners that he's advised. He says people need to accept that the tasks they delegate won't be done perfectly all the time. But eventually you realize that you're the bottleneck and not delegating is hurting your company. Success, Glazer says, is being 85% right without having to do the work yourself. Yeah, that's today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. And as we said earlier, we are watching the Turkish lira. It is now down about 1.3% against the dollar. It's at 6.4286. Now, President Erdogan effectively banned Turkish entities from conducting business in dollars or euros, and that triggered a brief rally in the battered lira. But then he doubled down on demands for the central bank to cut interest rates, and that triggered a fresh sell-off in the national currency. And we get the interest rate decision in Turkey in about 3 minutes from now, and we'll bring you that on Bloomberg Surveillance. S&P futures are up 6 points. Dow futures up 55. NASDAQ futures up 24. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. The 10-year Treasury down 3/32. The yield 2.97%. The yield on the 2-year 2.75%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.4% or 99 cents. It's at $69.38 a barrel. COMEX gold, little change at $12.10.60 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1622. The yen 111.51. Again, Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. But for our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.